Now this morning, what we're going to do, turn in your Bibles first before we begin John 3:16. John 3:16. And I'll tell you what our topic's going to be right after we read this. Because I went before God about this. See, when God gives me a message, here's how it works. He gives me a message, and I begin to study it, and I begin to meditate on it, and he begins to share things. And then I always ask him, I say, well, Lord, I'm going to do this because this is what you're saying to do, but I wanted to make sure it was going to line up. Now, this message he gave me, interesting enough, he gave it to me a year ago. Now, I'm going to show you something. He gave this to me a year ago, but let's read John 3:16. Is everyone there? Okay, I'm reading from the King James Version. If you have that, please read along with me or read in your version as well. Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, isn't that good to know? If that's all you knew, then you know the gospel. That's the gospel, right, in a nutshell. God did what? So loved, but what did he do? He gave. What did he give? His only begotten Son. Why did he give his only begotten Son? That whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's the gospel. That's all you need. If you knew John 3:16, all you got to do is explain that to somebody. Now, wasn't that simple? But sometimes we complicate things. But God doesn't complicate things. Amen? Now, turn in your Bibles this morning, what we're going to look at, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Is everyone there? I think they got it on the board too, right? Okay. Now, let's read with me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attained what? A good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The worlds were framed by what? The word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Okay? Now let me read that in the New Living Translation. It says it this way. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Look at verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Are you there? Let's read that. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that what? That he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let's look at that. But without faith, it's what? To do what? So in other words, if you want to please God, if I want to please God, and if you want to please God, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have faith. So notice what it said. It didn't say by our feelings. Or some of us say our feelings. Not by my feelings. My feelings don't please God. Okay? But what is it? Our faith. Amen? Now, let me read that in the God's Word translation. It says, no one can please God without faith. Whoever goes to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The Living Bible says it this way. You can never please God without faith, without depending on him. Got that? Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely look for him. You got that? Okay, now move to verse 8, Hebrews chapter 8. This is our topic. This is our subject this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 8, and they got it on the board. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go unto a place which he should receive for inheritance, he did what? He obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is who? God. Now let me read that in the classic Amplified version. Amplified edition. I just sort of just popped up in my Bible thing down here. It says, now listen to this. Urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. He went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go. Did you hear that? He didn't know where he was going to go, but he didn't trouble his mind about where he was to go. Prompted by faith, he dwelt as a temporary resident in the land which was designated in the promise of God, though he was a stranger in a strange country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs with him of the same purpose or the same promise. Verse 10, for he was waiting expectantly and confidently. Are you waiting expectantly and confidently? Are you? Looking forward to the city which has fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. A lot of us know this by heart, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says what? For we what? Walk by faith and not by sight. Say it one more time. Say, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So this morning's message that God gave me a year ago to share now was the walk of faith. Amen? Now let me ask you this. We're going to look at the walk of faith through the life of the father of faith. And who's the father of faith? Abraham. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through some areas, okay? So we're not going to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We're going to walk through this. And we're going to look at the life of the father of faith, the walk of faith through him, but through the eyes of God. Amen? Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you here desire to walk in the same faith Abraham had? Let me see the hands. I hear the hallelujahs. Okay. So now, what we're going to do now that everyone raised their hand, right? Almost everyone raised their hand. So in other words, we're going to learn from Abraham's example. Amen? Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and let's look at verses 1 through 3. Okay? I think they put it up. And I want to thank our media people for putting the scriptures on the board. Amen? Yeah. Give them a hand. I like that, man. I'm telling you. Makes me look professional, you know? Okay. Ready? Are we there? Okay, let's read. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, right? And what did he say? And I will make thee what? A great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, right? And what else he said? And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And now listen to this. In thee shall what? All the families of the earth be blessed. Now, in this, we call this the call of Abraham, right? Now, Abraham was called by God. Now, think about this. Abraham, quiet as everyone does, I don't know if everyone realizes this, he wasn't an Israelite. He came from out of the Ur of the Chaldees. The place that's known today is Iraq. He came from a family. His father was an idol maker. That was the business. That was the family business. Okay. So now God spoke a word, just a word to Abram. And now I want you to think about this, because sometimes we don't really realize this. It was just one word spoken to him. But you see, all it takes is one word from God. But he heard God. Now, God told him in this calling, he told him to do four things. So if you're taking notes, take this down. He called Abram to get out of his country, number one. Number two, well, his country represents his surroundings. Number two, his kindred. In other words, his family. All right. Number three, from his father's house. That was his support system. Unto a land, an unfamiliar place. So in other words, what God was doing with Abram, he just spoke one word to Abram, and he told him this. So what God was doing with Abram, and in the walk of faith, that's what we're going to find out. God was removing Abram from his safe zone over into this faith zone. Now, look at this. Let's pick this up, right? Listen to what God said he would do. See, if Abraham would do what he told him to do, those four things. Now, listen to what God said he would do. Number one, he would make Abram a great nation, right? Number two, God said he will bless him. In other words, God would empower him to prosper. You got that? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 says this, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh what? Rich. So when he's talking about blessing, he's talking about making them rich, and it has no sorrow with it, right? God also said he will make his name great. Okay? Because up until that time, Abram was just so-and-so's boy, right? Now, and then also God said that Abraham will be a blessing. So not only will Abram be blessed, but Abram will empower others to be blessed. And look at what he says here. God said he will bless those that would bless Abraham. And he would curse those who would curse him, right? And finally, God said this. He said, through Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. Now, that's a key that we need to understand. Because you see, God said this in Genesis, and he's not going to reverse what he said. So the walk of faith, right? We're talking about the walk of faith, right? The walk of faith has a destination. Okay, that destination is the promises and provisions of God. The walk of faith also requires action. Abram had to obey the voice of God. Now I want to ask you a question. Did Abraham respond quickly? Yes, he did. He did. Let me ask you this. Next question. I got my A students out there. They're chomping at the bit. Okay. Did Abraham fully obey the voice of the Lord? No. No, he didn't. Because what did God tell him to do? Leave his family. Who'd he bring with him? Lot. All right. Now, keep that in mind. Now, at verse 7 in Genesis chapter 12, Abram's on his journey, and God appears to him and tells him. He tells him that all this land and your seed, I have given it to you. Abraham does something very interesting. Now, remember, I told you he came from a household of idol worshipers, right? When God appeared to him, he didn't make an idol. He made an altar. Okay? He made an altar, and that place was at Bethel. He made an altar. That altar represented worship. So in this walk of faith, what's going to be required is our obedience, but also we're going to have to know how to worship. Faith requires worship, amen? Jesus said this to the woman in the well in Samaria, right? In John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus said something very important to the woman at the well in Samaria. He said this, but the hour come, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. So in other words, church, God is looking for worshipers. So what we see here is Abram showing his heart and showing that he's a worshiper of God. Amen. Now, if we move down to verse 10, kind of like a lot of us that start out in faith, you get excited, you hear something. Wow, I'm turned on, right? So Abram was really turned on. But in verse 10, something happened. There was what? A famine, lack. Now, in the walk of faith, when you make that decision that you're going to go with God, there's going to come opposition. So here we see Abram, he was struck with opposition, right? There was famine, lack in the land. So Abram took his family. Where did he take them? He took them down to Egypt, okay? Egypt is like a type of the world. So in other words, Abram knew because his father told him, if things get bad, go to Egypt, right? So he went to Egypt, right? But the interesting thing happened while he was in Egypt, the father of faith, what did he do? He was with his wife, right? And he knew. He said, listen, man, you know, I'm not stupid. I know Pharaoh. Pharaoh don't believe in divorce. Okay? So Pharaoh will kill me and take you. So what he said was, he said, I'll tell you what. Make like you're my sister. Okay? And she played along with it, right? Can you imagine? Look at the camera. Can the camera see this? Can you see if me, I'm Abram, I'm going to tell Pharaoh, this is my sister. Well, she looks more like my mother. I look more like my father, but this is my sister. So in other words, what happened was Abram, you might as well say it, he tossed his wife under the bus, right? Just to save his own skin. The father of faith, right? He was learning, he was growing, right? And the thing I left out was, remember, he's 75 years old, so he's growing, right? Now listen to this. What happened was, what happened in Egypt was Pharaoh, there was barrenness in his household. Nobody could bear children. And he's trying to figure out what's the problem. And word got back to him, oh yeah, you know that lady, you know, Sarah, that fine mama that you put in the harem? That's Abram's wife. And Pharaoh said, what? So he called Abram in. He said, what you trying to do, get me in trouble? And he kicked him out, right? So he kicked him out of Egypt. So Abram, the man of faith, got kicked out of Egypt. Kind of like some of you got denied loans, right? Egypt kicked you out, right? But now look at this. Turn to chapter 13, verse 1. And Abraham did what? He went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all he had and Lot with him unto the south. Now look at verse 2. And Abraham was very poor. Wait, Abraham was trying to make ends meet. Abraham was on a fixed income. Abraham was rich. No, he was very rich. Let me give you an example of what we're talking about here, because the Bible says this. Now look at this as an example. This is rich, right? This is very rich. He was very rich in what? In cattle, in silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Now here's an example. We're talking about the walk of faith, right? Now he failed, right? In your estimation of mine, right? He lied. He tried to save his own skin. But did you notice he left out and he was what? Blessed. Now that's an example of God's grace. Okay? Unmerited favor. He had partial obedience and he lied and God, but God still caused him to prosper. Now the question on that is, why did God still cause him to prosper? Because God had a plan. And the same thing is with you in this walk of faith. You may make some wrong decisions. You may make some missteps, but God's got your back. You got that? So he came out of that situation better than he went in. Amen? All right, now, if you notice, in that same chapter, he had someone with him. Who was his nephew? Lot. Now, because he had Lot, I always like to say it this way. Because Abraham took Lot with him, he got into a lot of trouble, right? Right? But now, a situation occurred in that same chapter, verse 5 and 10. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to explain it to you. What happened was this. The herdsmen of Lot and Abraham's herdsmen were getting into strife. And there was going to be a fight. And something was about to go off, right? But do you notice Abraham, and this is what we should always do when we're in this walk of faith. Situations are going to rise up. Things are going to come up. People are going to clash with you, okay? But notice what Abram did. He took the high road. He told his nephew, he said, nephew, you know, we're brothers. You know, we're brethren. I tell you what, you pick out the land. If you go east, I'm going to go west. If you go west, I'm going to go east. So good old Lot, right? He's going, I want that over there, right? He took the best land, right? He had first dibs, so he took the best land, right? But the interesting thing happened as a result of that. The moment he separated himself from Lot, right? God spoke to him again. In this walk of faith, there may be some things and people that you will have to separate from. In the natural, it would look like loss and defeat. But up until this point, God can only reveal so much of his plan to Abraham while he was in that current situation. I'm here to tell you this morning that in the walk of faith, there may be some things you may have to separate yourself from. There may be some people you may have to separate yourself from because God can't show you the next step while they're still there or while that situation is still there. Everyone got that? But notice what happened. Now let's look. Go to Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. Okay? And let's read. And the Lord said unto Abraham after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, where is northward, south, east, and west, right? For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it to you and to your seed forever. Notice, God didn't say that until Lot left. Let me read that from the Message Bible. It says it this way. After Lot separated from him, God said to Abram, open your eyes, look around you, north, south, east, and west. Everything you see, the whole land spread out before you, I will give it to your children forever. I'll make your descendants like dust. Counting your descendants will be as impossible as counting the dust of the earth. So on your feet, get moving, walk through the land, its length and its breadth. I'm giving it all to you. When we get in obedience with God's plan for our lives, he begins to reveal more and more of his plan. Amen? Now, the interesting thing happens. Abram's blessed. Lot went his way. Lot settled in an area near Sodom. But then in chapter 14, an interesting thing happens. Faith, I like to say it this way, faith in a battle. Or Abraham in a battle, right? Abraham gets dragged into a battle because of his nephew Lot, who settled near Sodom. The king of Sodom and all his people were taken into battle because of another king, King Chedorlaomer. King Chedorlaomer had four other kings with him. So it's five kings. They came against the king of Sodom and the king of Salem, right? And they took everybody in their kingdom and took them away. But word came back, a servant came back to Abraham and said, they took everything and they took Lot, right? So now what did Abraham do? He immediately assembled 319, the Bible says, trained men in his house. Now, he's going with 319 trained men. 319 trained men. I think you're right, 318. 318. Yeah. That's why I have a helpmate. That's why she handles the books, I don't. Well, anyway, 318, okay, 318 trained men. Now listen to this. Don't lose this. Now, I did a little research on this. Every king comes with a legion, okay, of soldiers. So now let's just say hypothetically, a legion consists of 6,000 soldiers, right? There's five kings. Five times 6,000 is 30,000. So now Abram's going with 318 men against 30,000. Now, how does that look? What odds are those? Okay, I want you to think about it. And then take it a step further. When he got there, he split the 318 in half, and that made 159 there. Okay, so 159 here and 159 there. So he's going, now follow this. I want you to picture this. He's going against the armies with 159 men, 30,000. Now, we're talking about the walk of faith, right? Now, I'm going to put it in something you can understand, okay? You got $159, and you got $30,000 in bills looking at you. But here's what I'm telling you. The walk of faith, remember, he said he went into battle, okay? Listen, the greater one, right? The greater one is in us, right? But now, I want you to see, because see, sometimes you got to see it that way. So now, he went into battle, right? Now, let's pick this up. Verse 15. Are we there? Genesis chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. Let's read this. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night. And what did he do? He smote them and pursued them unto Horbah, which is at the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back what? All the goods. Picture this. Think about it. 159 men defeat 60,000 men and brings back their goods. He brought back all their goods. Church, I'm here to tell you, that song says Angel's Army. God is about to bring back the goods. And he's going to bring back the goods with us. So it makes no difference how many is out there.
we're going to pick up their spoils and bring them back. Now listen, let's keep on going. And he brought back all the goods, also again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also and the people. Now get a picture of this, verse 17. And the king of Sodom, that remember that was one of the kings that was that got defeated? So he's at the gate looking, and he see Abram coming back with his men. And the king of Sodom, now I like to tell you this, the king of Sodom represents the flesh, okay? The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter. I like how it says slaughter. Every time I see that word slaughter, I think about this. I remember when I was a kid, and we in the Bronx, we played football, right? So this one team came, this coach had his team, they had a bus, they had pretty uniforms, they had cheerleaders, they had everything, right? They're gonna play us. The coach said, can we play you? They wanted to play us. We were supposed to be a tune-up game for this team, right? Now, we looked like a bunch of ragtag guys because we had hardly no uniforms matched. We had different helmets, different. So they thought it was going to be an easy win, right? But here's what happened. By the third quarter, we were beating them 77 to nothing. We knocked out all of their starters. Their bench guys didn't want to come out. So the coach called the game. Now, I call that a slaughter, right? So here it says, Abram went and brought back the spoils, but of the slaughter of who? King Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheved, which is the king's dale. Now, I want you to get a picture of this. Here's the king of Sodom over here, the flesh, right? But over on the other side, there was another king that met Abram, and that was King Melchizedek. He was the king of Salem. Now, that word Salem means of righteousness and peace. Now, the king over here, what's his name? Oh, yeah. The king of Sodom, he had nothing in his hands. He's saying, see, think of it, it's like the flesh. You the man. You the man, Abraham. You the man. You the man. You the man, right? But over on the other side is Melchizedek, the king of Salem. He had something in his hands. What did he have in his hands? He had the bread and the wine. What does that represent? Covenant. Doesn't that sound familiar? Now, the interesting thing about this character, Melchizedek, the Bible records Melchizedek as being the priest of the Most High God. He had no beginning and no ending. So he was like a type of who? Jesus Christ. But now he brings the bread and he brings the wine, a symbol of what? Our communion. But he didn't come with his hands empty-handed. He came with something in his hands. But also he came with words in his mouth. Look at what he says in verse number 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed the Most High God. Now that word Most High God is El Elyon. So he's saying, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which did what? Did what? Deliver his enemies in his hand. I'm here to tell you, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm here to tell you what you have in your, we're going to see, let me take a step back. Because look at verse 20. And he blessed the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into his hand. And what did Abram do? He gave what? He gave what? Tithes of what? Some? Of all. Now, I want you to get a picture of this because we're talking about the walk of faith, right? He came with the tithe. What is a tithe? A tenth. One tenth. I taught this to all my grandchildren. I'm teaching it to all of them. I said, listen, I give them 10 single dollar bills. I said, here's 10 single dollar bills. That $1 bill right here, this belongs to God. The rest is yours. So God gets a dime on every dollar. So I'm teaching them, and we've been doing. See, so in other words, I heard people say this. Well, you know, Brother Floyd, tithing is Old Testament. No, it's not. Tithing is only New Testament. No, it's not. Tithing is biblical. Abram brought this tithe 400 and some years before the Mosaic Law. So he brings tithes, right? He brought his tithes, right? And the Most High God, I mean, not the Most High God, Melchizedek pronounced the blessing over him. Now, here's something that I want you to understand. You know, we read Malachi, right? Malachi 3:10. What does Malachi 3:10 say? Bring all the tithes where? into the storehouse, and what's going to happen? And prove me now, if will not what? Open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now listen to this. Let's go back to that scenario. $159, right? Against 30, 60,000. You tithe that 159, it'll wipe out that 60,000. You got that? Now here's what people always tell me. Well, I can't afford to tithe. Well, I'll put it to you this way. I'm going to put it blunt, and I'm going to be as plain as I can. Let me look in the camera, too. I'm going to be as plain as I can. God loves you. He will always love you. But guess what? The provisions that are in Malachi 3:10, you have defaulted yourself from it. God hasn't. Because he will open the windows. But guess what? You shut the windows when you don't tithe. And here's another interesting thing about tithing. I told this to one of my friends who's a pastor in a church, and he was starting his church. And I told him, I said, when you pick your leadership, I said, make sure they're tithers. And he said, why? I said, because then you can trust them. People who don't try tithe, you can't trust. Now listen. Now listen. Now wait a minute, wait a minute. Listen, put your rocks. I see the rocks getting ready to flare up. Valerie, get the car ready. Get me out of here. Here's what I'm saying. When you tithe, you're telling the world, I trust God. Now, I got news for you. Here's a news flash. That dollar bill in your pocket has more faith than you if you don't tithe. Because on my dollar, it says, in God we trust. Let me move on. Okay, I'm meddling. I'm going to meddling, okay? So in other words, here's what we're saying. Let's keep on going in this story, right? And the king of Sodom, now listen, remember, he's still over here. King of Sodom, the flesh. The flesh tells Abram, okay, you the man, you the man. Now let's cut this thing down. You take what you want and I'm going to take what I want. Doesn't that sound like the government? Doesn't it? Sounds like the government. And no bad feelings to you, government, but that's the truth. They're the flesh. You're going to get paid and I'm going to get paid, right? But now listen to what Abram's response is, right? Listen to that, ready? Look at it, verse 22. And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God. He said, I lifted up my hand to El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not even take a thread, even a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is yours, so that you should say that you made Abram rich. You heard what Abram said? He said, I ain't taking nothing. I ain't taking jack from you. Because then you'll say you made me rich. You know, I had a gentleman a few years ago, I was in business with him, and he was well-meaning, he meant well, and he pat me on the back. He says, William, you stay with me, I'm going to make you rich. I distanced myself from him, and I have no more association with him. Why? Because no man is going to say he made William rich. I got it. Say it. Say, no man is going to say that he made me rich. So in other words, in this walk of faith, faith knows its source. And what is our source? Our Father God and no one else. Got that? No one else. No Powerball. Oh, I was playing Powerball because I wanted to win some money for Jesus. Well, let me ask you a question. Does Jesus need your money? And think about it. Now listen, this is why God didn't let you hit Powerball. I'm here to tell you why you didn't hit, okay? You didn't hit Powerball. And now look straight ahead. Look straight. Don't look into each other. Look straight ahead. I'll talk to the people on the internet. You didn't hit Powerball because if you would have hit it, then when you get up to testify, you would have had to say, I give thanks to the New York State Lottery for helping me to hit this so I can support the kingdom of God. That's why you didn't hit. But now who's our source and supply? God. So when this walk of faith, we have to know who our source and supply is. Amen? Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 15 as we're walking through this with Abraham, this walk of faith, okay? The word of the Lord came to Abram again in a vision. Now he came in a vision. And God reveals himself to Abraham as his shield and his exceeding great reward. Okay, you got that? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you see God as your protector? Do you see God as your compensator? Now look at verse 5 of that Genesis chapter 15. Because once again, he's speaking to Abram, right? He's speaking to him. And he brought him forth and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if you're able to number them. And he looked up, and Abram looked up. So shall your seed be. Now look at verse 6, very important. Read it with me. And he believed in the Lord, and it was what? Counted unto him for righteousness. In this walk of faith, faith gives us access to the promises and provisions of God. Not your good behavior, not your good looks, only your faith. Amen? Now, say this with me. Say, I believe God.
I believe God.
I believe his word. Now in 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, but listen to this. 2 Corinthians says this, for he, God, has made him, Jesus, to be what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Christ. So you're not righteous because how you look and how you dress and where you live. You're righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen? So now let's keep on moving in this walk, right? While in this faith walk, if we're not mindful, we can get ahead of God. And Abram certainly did. He got ahead of God. God told him that he'd have a seed, right? That he have a son, right? And he got ahead of God, and we know the story with Hagar and Ishmael, right? So we're not going to go there, but I just wanted you to understand, he got off track. In his faith walk, he got off track. Now in chapter 17, Abram is now 99 years old. He started out, he was 75. So it's been 24 years, and God gave him a promise, right? But there was still no manifestation, but he believed, right? Now let's look at this, right? Verses 1 and 2, chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, that's El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant with you and me, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Now look down to verse 5. He says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called what? Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Now think about this. Up until that point, Abram was just Abram. Or Abram, right? Abram. Now God's telling him, your name is Abraham. So now everybody he comes in contact with, you say, hey, how you doing? My name is Abraham. He knows me as Abram. But he knows what it meant. It meant father of multitudes. But he knows me. So I can imagine what was happening to Abram. I'm Abraham. 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 I'm father of many nations, father of many nations, father of many nations. See, God had to get his words to agree with his plan. That's where confession comes in. So God got Abram to say what his destiny was going to be. Father of many nations. Now, I know people probably heard him, and when he walked away, they looked, waited for him to go and go. Okay? But he held fast to his confession, right? Now, listen to this. God had to get Abram to speak forth the promises by naming him what his destiny would be, like I said, right? We too have the same thing in this walk of faith. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says something very interesting. He says, we having what? The same what? Spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore what? I have spoken. We also believe and we do what? We speak. So faith has a spirit. Did you know that? Faith has a spirit and it's confession. When we say what God says, then we're getting in agreement with what God was saying. So in other words, this is what happened with Abraham. He had to get in agreement. He had to get his words in line with his destiny, right? Now, the interesting thing is in the Gospels, in Mark chapter 4, verse 28, remember that example of the woman with the issue of blood? Remember, she heard about Jesus, but she said something very important. See, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. But the interesting thing happened was this. She heard that Jesus was coming, and she heard the stories of his healing and accounts of healing. But she had to put some corresponding actions to her words. What does she say? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be what? So she had words. She put words out there. She had to speak words. But now once she spoke the words, she had to put some corresponding actions to those words. And what was the corresponding action? She had to go through the press. Because the Bible account was, it was crowded. It was packed. It was jam-packed. So she had to go through all of these people. And remember, these people knew who she was. And and according to the custom that existed, she was unclean. They could have killed her on the spot. But she pressed through, and she touched what? The hem of his garment. And Jesus said, he stopped. Who did what? Who touched me? Now, Peter and all the other guys, I can remember Peter and John and all the posse, right? They're going with Jesus, and they're walking through. And they're saying, man, what are you talking about? Who touched you? Everybody's here. But Jesus knew someone touched him. See, how did she touch him? Not only physically, but by faith. See, faith places a demand on the promises and provisions of God. So we place a demand on the promises and provisions of God. If you're in need of healing, you use your faith to place a demand on the promises and provisions of God. If you need a financial breakthrough, you place the word of God on that need, amen? And use your faith to bring it to pass. Now listen, Jesus says something very important to this woman in verse 34. When she came and he saw her, he said, go your way. What did he say? Your faith has made you whole, amen? So on this walk of faith, Abram's telling everybody this, right? And he's telling them, I'm a father of many nations and all this. But something happens in chapter 20. The same thing happens. He goes to Gerar and he chickens out again to King Abimelech. Okay, Sarah, say you're my sister. But then God had to bail him out. God visited Abimelech and said, oh, stop it right then and there. That woman belongs to Abraham, and he's a prophet. Call him, and he'll pray for you and rid the plague in your household. So once again, like all of us men of faith, you know, we do sometimes, we put the ladies out in the front and duck, right? Incoming, okay? So God bailed him out, right? He got a bailout program. Now, chapter 21, as we're going in this walk with Abram, now time is marching on, okay? I want you to understand this. Time is marching on. And in chapter 21, verse 1, and I know I'm missing all the parts, but I'm just talking about this walk of faith. And the Lord did what? He visited Sarah as he said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he spoken. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to remove Sarah's name and put your name in there. So let's say that again, right? And the Lord visited as he had said. And the Lord did unto as he has spoken. See, that's faith. See, when God tells you something, he will do it. He can't go back on his word. Everything that he says has got to come true. Every time I get in trouble, I read his word. And there you go. He promised me, right? I like that song. I love that song. So here it is. We see the promise being made. And that promise was what? Isaac. Isaac is born. Now in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible tells us that we have been given exceeding precious promises. God has given you and I exceeding precious promises. You want to know where they are? You want to know where they are? Where are they? They're in the word. Amen? All right, you got it. So now here we go. We're at chapter 22. And always remember this. Your faith will always be put to the test. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. And I like to think of it this way. You know, Hollywood has really jacked this story up. Anytime you see any of these Bible stories, and they got Abraham going with Isaac, it looks like he's agonizing, right? He's crying. Come on, boy. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's a Hollywood version, right? But now let's pick up here and see what happened. Are you there? Let's look at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did what? Tempt Abram. Now hold it right there for a minute. Just want to clarify something. The translators of the King James, they're translating words. This word was not translated correctly. Okay? And I'll tell you why. Okay? we're going to come back to that. Go to James chapter 1, verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. I think we got that on the board. Yeah, there you go. Good. Listen to what James says. He says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he does what?" So God doesn't tempt anybody. So you were not tempted by God. Okay? God doesn't tempt any man. Now, the correct word that should be there was test. That's more applicable. So look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to come back to Genesis, but look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Peter says this. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, the God's Word translation says it this way. The purpose of these troubles is to test your faith, as fire tests how genuine gold is. Your faith is more precious than gold. And by passing the test, it gives us praise, glory, and honor to God. This will happen when Jesus Christ appears again. So now let's go back to Genesis. So we're going to make a little change there. And it came to pass after these things that God did put Abraham's faith to the test. And he said unto him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Behold, here I am. Right? Let's keep on reading. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell you of. And Abraham rose early in the morning. Once again, obedience, right? And he saddled his donkey, his ass, and took two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. You got that? Now I want you to get a picture of this. 25 years, the walk of faith, the promise was made. Now God is putting it to the test. And Abraham is responding on every cylinder. Look at verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and do what? Remember I told you he was a worshiper, right? And listen what he says, and will come again to you, right? And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and the lad, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both of them went together. Now, I like Isaac, right? Isaac was used to this, right? So Isaac's looking around. He's got the wood. Dad's got the fire. He's got the knife. So Luke is looking, you know. I imagine Isaac was like a teenager. I think he was a teenager. I'm just imagining. It's my imagination. And he's looking around. Dad. You know, I see the wood. I see the fire. I see the knife, right? But what did he say? He said, but where is what? The lamb for the burnt offering. Now listen to what faith says. In the midst of adversity, in the midst of a hard situation, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So both of them went together. God will provide. Faith, when your faith is on trial and you're being confronted with situations and circumstances, you need to say, my God shall supply, right? And they both went together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abram built an altar there. See, once again, he built that altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the wood. Now, here's what I got real quick. I got a quick picture of this, and I hope you can picture it with me. I want you to see Abram going with the promise, Isaac, laying it on the altar, binding him up. I see the father making a provision, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the son in obedience to the father, willingly giving himself. Didn't Isaac do that? He willingly laid himself down. The Father, God, sending his son, the son, Jesus Christ, being offered up as the Lamb of God, right? But But now let's look at this picture. Let's keep on going. This is a wonderful picture of redemption. And listen, and Abram stretched forth his hand, right? And what happened? And took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called of him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Now notice, this is what Abraham didn't do. And this is what some of us may do. Getting overzealous, right? Got the hand like this shaking. Abraham, Abraham, what? Thank God he didn't do that, right? But he was, you know, but he was tempered enough. No, listen. I don't want to make fun of it, but he was tempered enough and willing enough to lay his son on that altar, his only son on that altar. And he was willing to bring the knife down. And when he heard Abraham, Abraham, he said, what? Here am I. Now listen to what he says. Look at this. This is so wonderful. And he said unto him, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For I now know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him, what was there? What did he tell his son? Now here's something that I want you to see. There was what in the bush? What did he tell his son when they were coming up there? God will provide what? A lamb. But I guess he said, I'm going to take the ram anyway. Now, there's a reason for this. So then he saw a ram, right, in the thicket, and Abraham went and took the lamb and offered him up as a burnt offering instead of his son, right? Now, here's something interesting. Abraham, when he looked and he saw that lamb, that ram, he looked beyond that and he saw the lamb. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 56. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and they were talking about their father Abraham. Jesus said something very important. Do we have that on the screen? Listen to what Jesus has to say about Abraham. Okay, they don't have it, but I'll read it. Jesus said this. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. You know the day he saw it? That day when he offered up his son. He saw, and then what did he say? God will provide himself a lamb. Amen. Abraham then called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In other words, Jehovah Jireh means this. God has seen the need and made provision. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, God has seen the need. And he's made provision for you and I in this walk of faith. Amen? Now let's close with this. We're going to go to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. The Apostle Paul is giving by the Holy Ghost an account of this in the New Testament. So if there's an account here in the New Testament, there's something we can learn in this. Amen? Would you agree? Okay, are you there? Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 25. Okay, it's up there. Okay. Therefore, it is of faith that it may be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is what? The father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who did what? Quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Look at verse 19. And being what? Not weak in what? He considered not his own body. Now think about this. Weak faith considers his body. Weak faith considers the situation and circumstances. But it says here, Abraham was not weak in faith. He didn't consider his own body what? Now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promises of God. How? Unbelief will cause you to stagger to the promises of God. That's why it's so important that we daily feed ourselves on the word of God. Amen? Because the word of God will push away any doubt and fear. Amen? So he let's get back to this. He staggered not at the promises of God, right? Through unbelief, right? But was what? Strong in what? He was strong in what? How was he strong in faith? Where's my brother James? Where's he at? I heard his voice. Somebody give him that mic. Give him that mic. Run that mic up to him. Now here's what I heard. I heard Abraham as he was going up that mountain, right? Giving glory to God. I heard Brother James' voice. So put the, give us a glory to God. This is strong faith.
Listen. Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Glory. Hallelujah. 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 It changes things. It changes things. Hallelujah. Giving glory to God. He was not weak in faith. Giving glory to God. But not only that, he was fully persuaded. Not halfway persuaded. He was fully persuaded. What was he persuaded? That what God promised, he was able to perform. Amen? Now listen to this. And therefore it was imputed to him. It was counted to him as righteousness. But it doesn't stop there. Now it was written not for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So when we talk about this walk of faith, we're talking about faith has a desired outcome, right? The walk of faith believes the word of God. But the walk of faith requires action. The walk of faith has a spirit, the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak, right? Faith brings into reality the promises and provisions of God. Amen. Are you ready to take your stand? Amen. Are you ready to get out of the safe zone and move over to the faith zone? Are you ready? Are you, church, are you ready? Are you ready? Amen, amen. Now the first step in this walk of faith, the first step that's very important, Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He says, in order for you to come into the kingdom of God, you can't even see the kingdom of God except you're born again. So the first step of faith is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. With every head bowed, we're just going to take a moment. If you're here this morning, and I believe you're here, you have never accepted Jesus Christ. Now, you love Jesus. You always heard about Jesus. But you never accept him as your personal Savior. If you're here this morning, I would be honored to welcome you into the family of God, pray with you. We're gonna say something in just a few moments. And those of you who are on the internet, if you never had that opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, you join in with us too, and you will be what the Bible calls born from above, born again.